Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. Call, text at 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. She joins us every Thursday at this time for our public service announcement. Dr. Kristen Lyerly, looking very scrubby today, Dr. Lyerly.
I've been running all over the place. I'm in the operating room. I'm in the clinic. I'm up on labor and delivery. It is like, this is why I love my job, because I get to do all of these different things. And I just feel like, oh, I'm helping people solve the hard problems and be able to live their lives as they, you know, to the highest potential.
Your days must just fly.
Yeah, they do. And I, it's so satisfying to me when I can walk out of a room and my patient comes in and says, I've got this problem, and I do an exam and I'm like, oh yeah, I know the solution to your problem. And then she's so happy because she's been living with peeing in her pants or bleeding or whatever it is for so long, and it's so hard to talk about. And now we've got an answer. And not only do we have an answer, but she feels heard. So I love it. That to me, it, just being able to help people solve those problems so they can live better lives, that's what gives me all of the energy to do all of the extra stuff. Take it to the next level, Jane.
And you do a lot of extra stuff. But going back to helping people, the relief you must see in people's eyes when you're able to give them, like you said, someone who's been struggling with a health problem for who knows how long, and then finally it's like, oh my God, I have an answer. There's an answer to this. Must just be, I can't imagine how good that must feel for you.
That's why I love this show, because we can talk about things like painful sex and, you know, things that you don't necessarily even want to talk to your doctor about.
Yep.
But if we can bring this information forward and people can hear it and go, wait a minute, there is a solution. I don't have to pee in my pants all the time. There's medicine, there are surgeries. Yes. And you know, it might not be there, it might not be a quick fix for you, but it might be. So let's figure out a way to help you solve those problems, because problems like that are worrisome and they affect your life every day. If you are always worrying, I hate to keep beating up peeing in your pants, but if you're always worrying about where to find the next bathroom,
right,
is there something you can do or take so that you don't always have to be fixated on, I can't ever be too far away from a bathroom? That will have a huge impact on your life, your relationships, the things that you can do.
And I think we also all tend to think that whatever we're experiencing, I'm probably the only one who's ever had this, right? I'm probably the anomaly, and I'm the only one who has bladder control issues. And that's not true.
Most people have bladder control issues.
But I mean, just over a range of issues, though, you know what I mean? Certainly there's an anomaly where you might have a very super rare disease. But I do think that there are so many things that people think, again, I'm the only one who has this. I'm so embarrassed. There's no one to talk about, and there's probably no help. And I've never talked to anybody else who has this issue. But that's why you go to your doctor and bring it up. Or if you don't want to talk to your doctor about it and you would like some information about it, that's why we have Dr. Lyerly here every Thursday. So if you want to text in your question, you can always call. No shame involved. Seriously, 855-75-CIVIC. Or now you can shoot an email to Jane Says, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y, Says. That didn't make sense. J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S. That made sense.
You did it.
Jane Says.
Spelling is hard.
Words are difficult. I've only been working with them for a
These
while.
These words are mathing, and it doesn't make sense.
Stop it. Jane Says at civicmedia.us. If you would like to ask Dr. Lyerly a question or you have a health concern, absolutely. And again, there's no shame. We'll talk about, right? We'll talk about anything.
Oh, totally. We want to talk about the things that you want to hear about. And that's, like I said earlier, that's the whole reason that we do this show. We could have this conversation over a glass of wine, me, Jane, and Greg. That would be fun too. But we do it here on the air for you because we hope that there will be some benefit to your life from us doing it.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to change to, and I wanted to talk about this for a while because I think this is very concerning. We've had all this prep now to be vaccine skeptical ever since COVID. It was, no, don't take it. Don't take it. You're going to become magnetic anyway. I'm still pissed. And so now there's all of this skepticism about other vaccines because there is this distrust of the COVID vaccine. And now this has gone on to very common vaccines that have been around for decades. Donald Trump has repeatedly vowed, and this is within the last couple of months, he has repeatedly vowed not to give one penny to any school that has a vaccine mandate. And he doesn't say a COVID vaccine, just a vaccine mandate. If we all stop immunizing our children against something like measles, what is that going to mean for public health, Dr. Larley?
This is horrifying. I can't even put into words how bad it would be if we stopped immunizing our children and ourselves against these preventable diseases. And not only that, we would get sicker and we would be less educated and we would be more vulnerable and weaker and able to be controlled. And that's why Donald Trump is doing this. And it makes me so mad. He is so good at finding those little pain points and exploiting them for his own benefit, but for the harm of the rest of us. You know, when it comes to vaccines, I had this conversation with a patient yesterday. She said, I don't do well with vaccines. And because I don't do well, I'm just concerned about my kids and I'm really not comfortable getting them vaccinated. You know, that's reasonable. Have a conversation with your healthcare provider. Know what the risks and benefits are, not just with vaccines, but with everything. You are your best health advocate. So anytime that you are being treated for something, you start a new medication, you're considering a procedure, you need to know what the advantages are and what the disadvantages are, because you're the one who will reap the consequences. If Donald Trump defunds public schools that offer vaccines, we are going to see massive chickenpox outbreaks, measles outbreaks, rubella outbreaks, all of these things that are diseases that we've had under control for a long time. Yep. We haven't been able to eliminate them, but they've been under control. And our healthcare system can't handle that. And remember, our healthcare system is already the most expensive healthcare system in the world, yep, with the worst outcomes. And doctors and nurses and healthcare providers are struggling to keep up, struggling to stay in the field because it's such a dysfunctional system. This would be the straw that broke the camel's back, and the country would literally be plunged into chaos. And I don't mean to overdramatize it, but that is what would happen.
Sherry from Horicon on the live stream said, my son works in heating and air conditioning. None of his crew believe in COVID or the vaccine. They also don't believe in tetanus shots.
Wow, tetanus shots.
That, I mean, tetanus shots, I go back ages.
But, you know, tetanus shots affect you. If you choose not to get vaccinated against or for with tetanus, then you are the one who reaps,
right,
those repercussions.
You're not going to pass tetanus along, right?
Right. That's on you. But if you don't get vaccinated for some of these other common things, not only do you get sick, but you get other people sick. And in some of these situations, you could literally be killing other people because you don't have the informed, you're not taking an informed approach to your healthcare. And I mean, I find this really troubling. And COVID was such a great example of this. We saw this 100 years ago with the influenza outbreak, right, with all of the misinformation and disinformation there as well. I mean, all we can do is bring people together, have these conversations, and make our own individualized healthcare decisions. That is at the crux of this.
Dr. Lyerly is our guest. She joins us every Thursday at this time for a public cervix announcement. If you have a health-related question, please give us a call. Send in a text, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Before we move on, because we do have Tom from Grafton on the line, Dr. Lyerly, I think there is assumption among some people that measles and mumps, which is rubella, and chickenpox are pretty benign illnesses. That's not necessarily true.
No, it's not true. Measles is very contagious. Rubella is German measles. Some of these diseases don't, people get sick, but the reason we vaccinate everybody is so pregnant people don't get these diseases because it's devastating to the fetus. So you can't, if you actually follow the chain of evidence here, you can't say you don't have to get vaccinated and then say, we care about fetuses and moms.
Right.
Because if you do, then you're going to get vaccinated against these childhood diseases that pregnant people are vulnerable to get. So mumps kills people. We're seeing measles outbreaks. I mean, was it New York City or somewhere
recently
where we saw?
There's one in Florida now.
In Florida. Yeah. And not that long ago, we saw a big one in the Twin Cities in the Somali population. These are preventable diseases. These vaccines save lives. And we don't have great treatments for these diseases. So the treatment is the prevention.
Tom from Grafton on the line. Good morning, Tom. Thank you so much for joining us. Did you have a question for Dr. Lyerly?
Yeah, I have a woman's health question, actually. I was hoping you might have a little time. I remember maybe 10 years ago and going back from there that it was pretty common for women who are slightly older to get hormone replacement therapies. But then somebody in the medical establishment said that this is unsafe and there's some sort of studies that were done there showing these women have more likely to have cancer or other things. So then they pretty much stopped giving women hormone replacement. I was wondering what the update on that would be. And is it safe for slightly older gals to get that now?
That's a great question, Tom. Thank you so much.
Sure.
Tom, I'm so glad you asked this question. I have this conversation with my patients all the time. You're right. Back in the late 1990s, we had this huge, great study called the Women's Health Initiative, where we thought that giving women hormone therapy would be good for their heart, because heart disease is actually the number one killer of women,
right,
of all of us.
Right.
So we thought that this would be good for their hearts. And we got all these women on this one kind of estrogen, and some of them also took progesterone if they needed it. And what we found was that some of these people actually ended up having more problems than less. They developed blood clots. They had strokes. They had cardiac events. So that was when everybody stopped taking hormone therapy and stopped prescribing it. And I think we're going to talk more about this after our break.
Stay close. Dr. Lyerly will still be here when we come back. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. We're coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. Matt Nair on Air, Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join the show, call or text at 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter, as she does every Thursday at this time. Dr. Kristen Lyerly is our guest with the public cervix announcement, and we talked about this a little bit earlier, Dr. Lyerly. If you have a question, a medical question, no shame, seriously, you can call it in, text it in, send us an email at janesays@civicmedia.us, and we can talk about it next week. Tom from Grafton had called about asking about hormone replacement therapy for older women and why that stopped. Was there a little more you wanted to address about that, Dr. King?
Yeah. So again, back in the day, we were giving it to everybody. We thought it was really good. We did a study. The study showed us that it wasn't great for everybody. So everybody panicked and stopped using and stopped prescribing hormone therapy. But when they looked at the data again, what they realized was it was really the people who were 10 years out after menopause, when they restarted hormones then, those were the people who were having the cardiac events and the strokes.
Oh.
And that a lot of people were really suffering, because hormone therapy can help with everything from mood to night sweats and hot flashes and all of these other things that are just tough for people to describe, but are all related to the menopause transition. So what we're starting to see now is a very thoughtful approach, as people are starting to warm to the idea of hormone therapy, look at the different options that might work for them, and figure out, you know, what is the best thing for them moving forward. It's great. I'm actually a North American Menopause Society practitioner for menopause help. So this is a topic that I really care about, because a lot of people they need this help and they don't know where to turn. So this is a joy to talk about. And the difference between a patient when I first get to evaluate her and we have follow-up a couple months later when she's been on the therapy is often day and night.
Wow. That's great. Mm-hmm. Yeah. For those who have not experienced night sweats, it's so delightful. It's a slice of heaven is what night sweats are.
Yeah.
She says very sarcastically.
Yeah. But you don't have to have hormone therapy. There are other things you can use for night sweats. So even if you're not comfortable with hormones, there's gabapentin and other medications that we can use that can help with night sweats and other symptoms of menopause. So there are lots of options out there. As long as you know that there's probably something we can do, you just have to take that first step and find that right provider who's going to be able to help you with it.
If you're just joining us, Dr. Kristen Lierley is here for our public cervix announcement. We started out talking about vaccines. Donald Trump's now saying he will cut off all federal funding for any school that has a vaccine mandate. And Sherry on the live stream had commented that her son is in heating and air conditioning and none of his crew believes in COVID or vaccines. And then PJ responded, newsflash for those guys, if they went to public schools, they would have been required to get vaccinated before attending. Yeah, little reality check there, dudes. You've already had some shots.
They're not thinking about it, though. You know, there are things that we do based on the people that we hang out with that sometimes we're just presented with information and we just have a knee-jerk reaction. And you're not a bad person if you have a knee-jerk reaction to not get a vaccine. But I would encourage you to think about, what is this vaccine about? What is it preventing? What is the impact on me and the impact on the people around me? And what are the risks to me? If you're making a good informed decision, then that's great. If you are just making a knee-jerk decision, you could really be putting yourself and others around you in danger. And I've seen it. I've seen it, especially during COVID, where people would show up to the emergency department, people who would have benefited from the vaccine, they're sick, and they say, now I want my vaccine. And it's too late for them. And many of these people die. And they didn't take the time to think about, what is the vaccine? Is this the right thing for me? And it literally cost them their lives.
That is so sad, Dr. Lierley. It really is. That is just tragically, tragically sad. And I'm still trying to find the logic behind the anti-vaxxers. What is the motivation for a false vaccine? Other than the microchip implant, which, you know, sure. Okay. But again, I am missing the logic of these folks on, this is a government plot to get you to take this vaccine to do what? What?
Well, it's just the conspiracy theory people. You know, there are always conspiracy theories. But the problem now is when you've got someone like Donald Trump who is grabbing this conspiracy theory and exploiting it because he wants to weaken people. He wants to make it harder for people to vote. He wants us to be less healthy because that means that he can consolidate power and take it away from the people. That's really the basis of this.
Well, and it's interesting that you bring that up. Project 2025 is something that we've talked about a couple times on this show. And political consultant Joseph Heckey is going to be joining us on Monday to talk about it again. I don't think people have a complete grasp of what Donald Trump and his cronies want to do to our political system and want to do to our country should they get back in power. It's really very frightening.
And for those of us who are just out in the world trying to get by, trying to work hard so that we can pay for our expensive groceries, we don't have time to figure out all of the details. And that's why what you do, Jane and Greg, by being here and allowing us to have these conversations and to ask these questions and to invite us in our own homes to look into these really important topics that we need answers to, these are important things to talk about.
Absolutely. Real quickly, David from California, just got about a minute and a half left. David, go ahead. Did you have a question for the doctor?
There are two different motivations I smelled right away. Donald Trump, being a real estate broker or developer, knew that the best way, the cheapest way to get land is to have an epidemic. People get burdened with high medical bills and they got to sell their land at dear. And the second motivation is a little more of their Nazi Klan kind of crowd, that they intentionally want to, there's an old technique in wartime that if you injure the other side, you don't, if you kill them, they're just buried and gone. But if you injure somebody, they're going to have 8 people to take care of one injured soul.
That's right. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, David. That's really a very, very interesting point. And that kind of speaks to what you were talking to as well, Dr. Lyerly.
I think you're exactly right, David. And remember, 67% of bankruptcies in this country are because people can't afford their health care. Bankruptcy. The number one cause of bankruptcy is you can't afford your health care.
That's tragic.
You've got to fix this broken system.
Absolutely. Dr. Lyerly joins us every Thursday. If you have a question for her, we can always address it next week. Send it in to janesays@civicmedia.us. Dr. Lyerly, thank you so very, very much. Always appreciate you seeing you. And we'll see you next Thursday.
I love hanging out with you guys.
Stay close. News is coming up next. When we return, Acme Packing Company sports guru Paul Noonan will be here. This is Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Message.
Simple fact of plainly obvious to see. We're gonna kick your collective posterior.
Good morning, and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Join the show, call or text 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, or the platform that Elon has ruined. He joins us every other Thursday at this time. Acme Packing Company sports guru Paul Noonan is here. Good morning, Paul. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. We're going to talk about the draft in just a little bit, but right before you joined us, we had Dr. Kristen Lyerly on, and we were talking about vaccine anti-vaxxers and Aaron Rodgers, of course, a famous anti-vaxxer, but we had some comments on the live stream that I thought were really interesting, and I think this plays right into Aaron Rodgers. John Kay on the live stream says, some anti-vaxxers want to think they are smarter than the masses and know a secret. A good friend's wife is all in on this. It's a government plot to feed us bugs, chips in vaccines, etc. But I think John's got a really good point. I can absolutely see Aaron Rodgers believing, I'm smarter than these people. They don't know what they're talking about. I'm Aaron Rodgers.
He absolutely does. And I mean, I think we all know this about Aaron Rodgers, but he put any doubt to rest, aside from the recent CNN report that he is also a Sandy Hook conspiracy theorist. He went on a podcast called the Eddie Bravo podcast the other day, which I don't know anything about.
Sounds reputable.
Eddie Bravo. I'm sure his birth name, anyway.
Yeah, he openly talked about all of the, I don't know if making this cut on conspiracy theories is a little tricky, but all the truly insane ones he believes in. And not that the COVID one isn't, because it is, but for instance, he believes in the Tartarian conspiracy.
Excuse me?
The what?
It is a conspiracy theory that holds that there was a really great civilization that made a bunch of really cool buildings sometime several hundred years ago and was wiped out by a giant mud disaster, and that there are still some of those buildings lingering around. That's one of them. There's more than that. He talked openly about things like Operation Paperclip. Anyway, if you want to hear Aaron be a complete wacko, like all filters off, everything that you want. That's don't go pay that guy money. Go read the awful announcing post on it. Very, a very invaluable website that tracks bad announcers and things like this.
So, just give them money. Here you go, Aaron.
I am fascinated by the mud people who were, I mean, there were a massive mud tragedy that happened that wiped out this civilization. I would love to find out more about that.
Their skin is so soft.
Ah, yes.
I just don't
And this is the person that RFK Jr. is considering for his running mate for president.
Which is on brand for RFK Jr., to be perfectly honest.
This is true.
They are two peas in a pod in that sense.
Paul, I have a question for you, because we were actually playing with this a little yesterday. And I know there are regular folks who we go to work with, who we see on a regular basis, who believe in some of these things. But I feel like athletes, they like go whole hog. Like there was a young man at the combine, I think. He says he doesn't believe in planets or space.
The flat earth thing is starting to get into people more vociferously. There have been a few, so you do hear about them because they have a platform.
And yeah, you know, I guess you're right. Yeah.
You speak up on that, you hear about it. Aaron is one of the rare ones whose agent can't keep his mouth shut. I do recall, I'm blanking on the baseball player, but there's definitely a baseball player sometime in the last 20 years who thought dinosaur bones were planted by someone to make us believe in evolution and things like that. But
Tyler Owens. It was Tyler Owens who said that. I don't believe in space and planets. My friend also is not, he is quote unquote not sure about dinosaurs because, and I quote, that was a long time ago, man.
Oh, boy.
It was a long time ago. That is true. But part of it is just selection bias. And part of it is, you know, a lot of professional athletes don't have academia or critical thinking as their primary skill set. And that's not why they get paid or what their job is. And honestly, it's just sort of an unusual facet of the human condition that we do care about what they say. There's celebrities off the court and we in that field, but you know, we pay to see them on the field, not to listen to their ideas on things. And it's not surprising that some of them would have some outlandish ideas because, you know, if you're not exposed to, like, if schooling's not your thing, you might be exposed to some people who are trying to influence you in certain ways.
But I think it goes back to assuming that they know that they are brighter than the average person, and therefore they are the ones who are able to discern what is true.
Yeah.
Aaron especially definitely is of that belief. In that awful announcing article, they label him as having sort of a 17-year-old's understanding and confidence of the world. And I think that's about right. He definitely thinks he's the smartest guy in the room. And, you know, he will take in all these theories, but not apply any additional critical thinking to any of them, do any reasonable research on any of them. It just, he'll take it all in, but that's kind of where it ends.
He's the smartest boy around. He's a good boy.
Who's a good boy? Paul Noonan is our guest. He is with the Acme Packing Company, and we talk all things sports every Thursday at this time. So let's talk about the Packers free agency, Paul. Good picks, bad picks, what happens? Should we be worried?
So I would say generally good picks, and we shouldn't be worried. The Packers are meticulous in how they go about free agency in the draft. They're very analytics-oriented, and their big get was Xavier McKinney, who is the best safety available. He was, by most metrics in scouting, the best safety in the NFL last year, and the Packers have had terrible safety play. With Adrian Amos being a small exception to that, basically since Nick Collins got hurt back in 2011. So he should be a huge upgrade to this team. Just as an example of why he's good, last year Darnell Savage allowed 17% of his tackles to be missed tackles. Xavier McKinney was 5. He was the best in the league at not missing tackles.
That's good.
So that's a good get. On the negative side, it is unfortunate that they lost Aaron Jones, who is one of the best running backs in the history of the franchise. And I get why they did it. He is old for a running back. He's 29, which is not old, but running backs don't last that long in the NFL. He's up there. He doesn't have that many touches, so I think he'll still be okay. But he was due a very large salary. They asked him to take a pay cut. And one thing about the Packer front office is they are not good at soft selling things. They are asking somebody to take a pay cut is an awkward thing to do all the time in any situation, but there are good and bad ways to go about it. They have a history of not being very good at it. So Jones did not get a lot on the open market. He only got a one-year, $7 million contract, but he did end up with the Vikings. So we got to see him twice a year. And he's not washed. He's still very good. I think he'll, if he is not hurt when he plays the Packers, he will probably be a problem.
Paul, do we know, I mean, what kind of a pay cut did they ask, did the Packers ask him to make?
So he ended up getting $7 million. It sounds like they asked him to go down a pretty substantial one. He was due like 15 or 16. He was due a high number. They asked him to go down to like $4 or $5 million with incentives. So he did get more for the with the Vikings, but it was pretty substantial. They did replace him by signing the Raiders' Josh Jacobs, who was 3 years younger, had one very good season 2 years ago, but is coming off quite a down season for kind of a disastrous Raiders team. If he had a bounce back, I wouldn't be surprised.
People seem to be really excited about him. Like, my friends were like, we got this guy. I'm like, who is he?
So he had a good counting stats season 2 years ago. I would say he's a good but not great back. Aaron Jones is a great back when he is actually on the field. Jones is good. Since they're going to lose A.J. Dillon as well, he kind of splits the difference. He's much better than A.J. Dillon. He's worse than Aaron Jones. But in the aggregate, they'll probably be about the same.
The Acme Packing Company's Paul Noonan is our guest. We're talking all things sports. Anything else as far as the draft? Anything we should be looking for?
They also re-signed Keyshawn Nixon. And I guess when the Packers do this thing more than anything, they're shoring themselves up so that they don't have to pick for need. A lot of people are saying they'll go after safety early because they needed two of them. Now they only need one. But more than anything, they're probably freed up to pick best player available in the first two rounds. Which is a good place to be, honestly. It's better than anybody else in the division. Like, the Vikings lost Kirk Cousins to the Falcons. They have to go quarterback now. The Bears are obviously going to go quarterback now. We should just be able to build on the kind of juggernaut that we've already built.
Moving on to baseball. I know Greg Bach is...
Before we do that, we got a text from Patrick listening to the 920 saying, not sure how well known it is that Aaron Rodgers' dad, Ed, is a nutcase who frequently posts right-wing extremism on Twix, Twitter/X, nurture over nature, perhaps.
A lot of his family members actually have similar stories in social media. So that is absolutely true. Yeah.
Great.
Devin,
go on.
Devin Williams, Paul Noonan, has two fractured in his back, and he's not happy with the team. What does this mean?
It's not great. I feel like Devin, they've had a kind of contentious relationship with Devin the whole time he's been on the team. It goes both ways. But Devin punched a wall once and basically cost us a playoff series. And but Devin Williams spent a lot of last year complaining about back tightness. And I'm not going to go out and say that the team doctors dismissed it, but backs are hard to deal with. They can be hard to diagnose. And they had him pitch through it and definitely missed this injury. He went and sought his own second opinion and found this. And I've heard from multiple people that he is not happy with the team for not getting this earlier. I mean, had this been taken care of at the start of the offseason, he would be ready to go for opening day.
Sure.
In all likelihood. And now he's going to miss half the season. I think this probably makes him a prime trade candidate if he comes back for a month or two, proves he can still pitch, and they hit the deadline. Because this is going to turn into the Corbin Burns situation where they're just not going to re-sign him anymore. I think they definitely don't get along at this point. And so, like, he is, like, the best closer in baseball. He's very valuable. But it's going to be tricky for this relationship to mend.
I certainly hope he's okay. That's got to be – I can't imagine. Yeah. I mean, arguably some of the best sports doctors are employed by our teams – and that they would miss something like this, that has to be very disturbing.
They're employed by the Yankees, so.
Also, Pat Murphy said that Bryce Turing will open the season starting at second, and that's a big change from how Craig Counsell would have handled it.
Yeah, Craig didn't like to name starters in anything, including like pitching. And to keep everybody open to versatile play, to be able to change things around a lot, Murphy seems much more rah-rah in terms of using things like you're the starter to boost confidence. But it's an odd decision. One of the Brewers' big offseason pickups was Joey Ortiz, who a lot of us were assuming would take over for Trang. And if they have to like switch after a week or two, this might end up backfiring a little bit on him. I'm a little surprised he's been so willing to just go out and put things in stone like this. Council really never did that. So it's a different strategy. It might work with a young team. I mean, they're all very, very young, but it is a change for sure. He seems much more of an old baseball guy than Craig does.
Craig,
because you're a huge baseball fan. How are you feeling about this?
As Fran Hong says, nauseously optimistic. And I know this is just me being, you know, when Craig Council left, I took it in stride. I was angry for like 24 hours. Then I talked to you and I talked to other people and I felt better. But then he made a comment at the beginning of spring training or something like, I think, or maybe like the presentation of him being the coach and something like, people are coming out. So, you know, that feels good that people are there to see you. Like, it was a comment on the fact that Cubs fans fill the stadium, whereas Brewers fans don't always fill the stadium. And it was just like, you didn't have to say that. It felt mean
and not true. Like, the Brewers actually have really good attendance for their market size.
Yeah,
like
so take that, Craig.
Paul Noonan joins us every other week at this time. He is a writer for the Acme Packing Company. Thank you so very much, Paul. Quickly before we go to break, your favorite pie? It is Pie Day.
Rhubarb.
All right. There you have it, Paul Noonan, rhubarb pie. Thank you so much for joining us. Stay close. We'll be right back. This is Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Was you that did right? it.
I
you
did it. Did right. it. Oh, good. I was right then. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Thank you so very, very much for joining us. Jane, Matt Nair, Greg Buck, and you coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Call or text if you want to join us. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Greg Buck, it is Pi Day, not P-I-E, but it is Pi, P-I Day, 314.
Yeah.
And I follow Neil deGrasse Tyson on what used to be Twitter, and he was showing off all his pi numbers, just like an astrophysicist would.
He's kind of a killjoy now. Like, he just loves to ruin people's fun.
Oh, he does not.
Yes, he does. He, like, just people having good space fun. He'd be like, well, actually, you're putting that in the wrong. Blah, 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 blah. I'm like, dude, he told the Daily Show that the Earth is that on when the Daily Show would open up, they'd have the spinning globe.
Yes,
he's like, that globe is spinning the wrong way. It's like, shut up! You're the reason why we had pop quizzes.
He's an astrophysicist. I would say you gotta cut him some slack.
I gotta say you gotta relax. Frankie says relax. All right.
All right. Fine. It is Pi Day.
Yes, it is.
Regardless, what is your favorite pie? P-I-E pie. 855-75 Civic 855-752-4842. Comment on the live stream, Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Greg Bach, your pie pick.
Oh, I'm going to make Pat Kreitlow so angry right now.
Uh-oh.
I really love a strawberry rhubarb pie.
I can get down with that.
Yeah, he was like, what? He got really indignant.
That while the anti-rhubarb people are pretty firmly planted.
Well, that's
it's,
weird.
It's tough to, it's. It, I don't think you can convince an anti-rhubarber.
Well, that's, and that's the thing too is, you know, you can't pay me $20 to eat coconut anything pie or egg coconut anything. So I get it. But it's what?
Like you have the same kind of aversion
to coconut. But mine is justified and right. What about you, Jane? What is your favorite pie?
I have several.
Oh.
So I love a good pecan pie. Sherry on the live stream says hers is pecan too. I love a good pecan pie.
Okay.
I love cherries.
Yeah.
I love cherry pie.
A piece of warm cherry pie.
A piece of warm cherry with a little ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Or some whipped topping.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh,
that,
my gosh.
That would work for me, no problem.
Andrew Leffler on the live stream says, Greg, get the strawberries out of there, rhubarb only, or go home. All right, Andrew, good to know you are a house with an open mind.
He is standing firm in his strawberry patch, and that's where he's going
to
stay.
And I'm going to throw him a piece of rhubarb to get him out of there and be like, come and join the adventure.
We can all agree on pie.
Yeah, that's fine.
Let's not have pie wars.
I know. I'm
taking
right. It's okay.
So personally, my goodness. 855.
I know, Andrew, taking it so personally.
855-75-CIVIC. It is Pie Day. And actually, if you live in the Milwaukee and Madison areas, you can actually get some free pie. Hubbard Avenue Dinner in Middleton is making Pie Day one of their biggest days of the year. If you want pie at the Hubbard Avenue Dinner in Middleton, wear a past or present Hubbard Pie t-shirt on Pie Day, and you get a free slice of pie.
I wonder if I could get a free slice of pie because I have a pie symbol tattooed on my leg.
Ooh,
yeah.
That might carry some weight.
Thank you very much. Speaking of that, I carry a lot of weight when I eat pie.
Let's hit up various bakeries in downtown Waukesha, and we'll have you show off your pie tattoo on your leg, and we'll see what that gets us. Hopefully not arrested.
Show the man your naked ankle.
Cindy from Appleton, our friend, is on the line. Good morning, Cindy. Thanks so much for joining us. Did you want to check in on pie?
Well, I'm going to tell you, the only pie I don't eat is mincemeat pie. Otherwise, everything else rates pretty much the same for me. I love pie.
So you're pro coconut, you're pro strawberry rhubarb, you're good,
yep.
you're down yep. with the pie.
You are an equal sweet yep. pie embracer.
Absolutely.
That's great.
And I thank you, Cindy, so much, and thank you for listening. And I'm with Cindy. There's rarely a bad pie.
I mean, honestly, I don't like coconut for various reasons, but we got Angie from Monroe says cherry rhubarb. Liz from Sockville says definitely key lime, which is interesting. I don't know if I've ever seen a piece of key lime pie in real time. Like, I've seen it on TV and in movies.
I can make one for you.
Oh, boy. Oh, wait.
I made key lime Christmas cookies.
That's right. And then it's... Especially when in the Florida Keys, that's very, very good, which I might be going there next year. And then listening to the 608 on WMDX, lemon meringue pie is the best.
Oh, my mom made a lemon meringue pie that would make people weep.
See, my mom.
It was so good. I don't like meringue.
My mother, Jackie Box, same thing.
I was the kid. And my mother made this beautiful meringue, and it was brown,
yeah.
and just perfect like it's supposed to be, and that's the first thing I would scrape off and throw in the garbage. But the lemon part was awesome.
Yeah, yeah. God, now I want a good piece of pie.
Well, again,
where do you go to get pie in, like, where you live?
I usually make pie.
Okay, that's great.
I usually make my own pie as opposed to buying it. PJ on the live stream, Pick and Save has a phenomenal caramel apple pie. Yeah, I could get down with that.
So hungry.
Scott McKellen, Costco pumpkin pie is number one. I hate to disappoint you, Scott. I will eat pumpkin pie.
Yeah.
That's pretty low.
I mean,
on the list.
People don't sleep on sweet potato pie either, because sweet potato pie.
I have never had it.
It's super delicious.
Is it?
It's just different than pumpkin pie. It's just a nice, sweet, hearty pie. I really, really enjoy. Andrew, the rhubarb hater, is back. He says, wait, that begs the question, Greg. Why do you have pie tattoo? An ode to nature's infinite complexity?
But that is a good question.
Yeah, I do.
Why do you have a pie tattoo?
I do because I saw the movie once, and it's an interesting film. And then I started thinking about the infinite questions therein. And if you look at the tattoo itself, it's the symbol of pie with the universe inside of it.
Yeah, maybe we won't get hit up the Waukesha Bakery today unless you're going to explain.
You know what?
You're going to explain that to everyone.
I will, man. If it gets, do you think I wouldn't do that to get a free piece of pie, Jane Mantonier?
It would be totally worth it.
I mean, jeez.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so very much to our guests today, Dr. Kristen Lyerly and Paul Noonan from the Acme Packing Company. Thank you, Greg, for filling in for Calvin.
Of course.
Finally taking a couple of days off. Greg has been on the board this morning, and thank you to all of you so very, very much for calling and texting and listening. It means everything. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it, and stay close. News is next, coming to you on the Civic Media Radio Network.